My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Sonitotum, episode 84. Hello, my friends. Present day Matthew Wayne Selznick coming to you with just a brief note that this is an encore episode of Sonitotum episode 6 from way back in 2018. There's a good chance you haven't heard it, and I think it's a good one. I'm not giving you an original episode this week because I just came back from the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Association 58th Annual Nebula Conference. And I want the next episode, the next real episode, to be all about that. But honestly, I'm still processing and I'm doing some catch up, and I didn't want to squeeze an entire sort of impressions and thoughts episode like that into less than a day of recording and producing and preparing. So that'll be next week. That'll be Sonitotum episode 85. But in the meantime, I really do think you'll like this episode from the Wayback Machine, this encore episode of Sonitotum number 6, all about your story family. Enjoy. Hello, my friends. It is episode 6 of Sonitotum. It's a Wednesday evening, the middle of June 2018. And this time around, I want to share with you a concept that kind of helps me frame what I do as a creator. It's not really a new kind of thing. I've heard other people talk about it in a sense. And it's something that I usually think of in terms of writing and storytelling, but I realized as I was thinking about recording this episode that it really does apply to any kind of creator. So I'm going to talk about it in the sense that I think of it. And if I say story or writing or writer, you just replace that with whatever it is that you do. Yeah? So for a long time, a few years now, at least, well, since he died, and off the top of my head, I can't remember the year it was that Ray Bradbury died, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I'll have it in the show notes, of course. But when he died, I referred to him in some eulogizing that I had written at the time. I referred to Ray Bradbury as my story father. And it's a concept that kind of stuck with me. Let me explain what I mean by story father. I don't think it was a Ray Bradbury book that was the first piece of fantastic fiction that I ever read, but one of the earliest, like, mass market paperback novel type things, although it was a short story collection, that I can remember reading as a child was Ray Bradbury's R is for Rocket. So Bradbury is there at the very beginnings of my creation as a creative person, as someone who thinks about telling stories, who's making things up all the time, who's for whom creation is kind of a way of life. Ray's work was there from the beginning, and I have always held his work and the man himself in a certain esteem. And when he died, and the term story father just came to me, I didn't think much beyond that. But here's what I think now, what I mean when I say story father, and why I think the concept is important for helping me, and hopefully you, to kind of put a form to what it is that I do. So I think of my story father as someone whose work I respect and admire, not someone I want to write just like, but someone whose qualities I aspire to. And now for Ray Bradbury, it's that deep sense of humanity and a little bit of melancholy and a strong, strong embrace of poetry and metaphor. I love that idea. And if my own work can come anywhere close to emulating those core principles, well, I feel like I will have done my story father proud. You see what I mean? It's not that I want to write like him. It's that I want to write things that I could show to him with pride. Now, you know, Ray didn't really like people to use profanity or for there to be any sex in his stories. There's some sex, there's some profanity and stuff that I write. So look, you just have to grin and bear it and be proud of the fact that the work is getting done, right? Story dad. So I love the idea of a story father. And I realized that I kind of have a story mother, too. And that would be Ursula K. Le Guin. There were maybe a literal handful of books that have moved me as much as Ursula K. Le Guin's Always Coming Home. Man, what a piece of work that is. Early experiment in transmedia. There's a book and there are songs that were written with the conceit that they were written by the people, the cultures in the book. There were musical instruments that were created from scratch to emulate the musical instruments played by the people in the book. You could get, and I've got it, an edition of Always Coming Home that includes a cassette tape of the songs. Deep immersive, sort of a weird future history of a post-technological Northern California. Beautiful, beautiful mosaic novel made up of short stories and folk tales and recipes and songs and poetry and rituals and wow. Such an incredible work of world building and such a human, empathetic work. And that's one of Ursula K. Le Guin's lesser known works, right? I mean, everybody knows The Left Hand of Darkness and The Lathe of Heaven and her Earthsea books. Ursula K. Le Guin was a student of humanity. Her own parents were anthropologists. She was a scholar and a poet. And so she, in my mind, she walked this balance between heartful art and humanist science. And that sounds great to me. I would love my own work to in some way reflect those same ideals. Again, I'd like to look at my work and think, yeah, she would be proud of that. You know, the idea of a story father and a story mother, or a painter father and a painter mother, or a dancer father and a dancer mother, or what have you, a creator, the idea of creator parents. The parents of your artistic soul. What it comes down to is it gives me an idea when I'm making something. Would my art parents, would my story parents want to put this up on their proverbial refrigerator? I'm not saying it's always front of mind, but it's there, you know? It's there. It's a little bit of quality control, a little bit of aspirational thinking. We could extend it further. There's a bit of advice for writing that says that you should always have one person in mind when you're writing. And again, I think you can extend this to any art form. You should dance for one person. You should perform your role in that play or that movie with one audience member, one particular viewer in mind. Write that poem for one person. Sing that song to one person. If your story parents are the people that you want to take your work back to in the hopes that they'll be proud, your boy, what would we call that? Your story soulmate. That's probably it. If the idea behind the story parent, the story mother, the story father is that you're trying to bring something back to them that you've made in the hopes that they'll be proud, your story soulmate is the person that you create to. They're the ones you're transmitting to. And I don't mean that every story has to be about them or dedicated to them or anything. Just when you're telling it, have in your mind, what would they think? Would they get this point? Would they understand this theme? Would they, you know? It helps me. There's a thing I do periodically. It's a little gratitude ritual that I talk about in a blog post on gratitude that I wrote, which I'll point to in the show notes. It's a little video thing that I do on Instagram where I just state something that I'm grateful for from that day. The days that I do it, I'm not talking to the camera. I'm talking to my story soulmate. And it helps. It gives me a perspective. You know, I'm not just talking into the void. I'm addressing someone. And I think the same exercise can work in any kind of art form. Who are you trying to reach? That's your story soulmate. I like these ideas because, number one, writing stops being, or any kind of creating, stops being all about yourself when you adopt these approaches. It raises the bar a little bit. There's more of an expectation. There's more love. In marketing, there's a concept called the customer avatar. The idea of the story parent, the idea of the story soulmate, it's the same thing, really. Maybe a little more loosey-goosey. And you're not trying to sell to them. You're trying to reach them, to communicate with them, to make them proud, as the case may be. You're trying to create work that makes your story parents proud and makes your story soulmate smile knowingly or cry. Keeps them warm at night. I like the idea. I thought maybe you would too. Who are your story parents or dance parents or movie parents or painter parents or what have you? And here's a thought. You know, your creative parents, your metaphorical creative parents, don't necessarily even have to work in the same media as you do. Who are your creative parents? Who do you imagine you'd like to make proud with each work that you create? And who, right now at least, is your story soulmate? Who are you trying to reach, to move, to change, to affect with everything you create? Whether they experience it or not. Remember, it's they're real people we're talking about, but the interaction is just for you. just for you, to help you shape and guide and hone and refine the art that you make. Who are they? Who are these people? I want to know. I want you to figure it out, more importantly. Figure it out and see what it does for you. Write something, choreograph something, compose something with your story parents and your story soulmate in mind. Let me know how it comes out. Or if you already do this, let me know what those works are. Share them with me. I mean like links and stuff, right? And tell me the story about your story parents, about your story soulmate. And hey, if you can come up with less clunky names for these terms, for these concepts, then I'm all ears. Hey, if you've enjoyed this or any other episode of Sonatotum, I've got three things that I would love for you to do for me to help show your support for the show. The first thing is, if you haven't already, wherever it is that you get your podcasts, please subscribe for free to Sonatotum. Just click that subscribe button for Sonatotum wherever it is that you might have heard this episode, wherever it is you get your podcasts. Next, wherever it is that you get your podcasts, I hope you'll take just a moment to rate and review Sonatotum. Tell the world why you enjoy the show and why other people should listen to it and subscribe for free. And finally, if you'd like to go the extra mile and you have the will and the means, I hope you'll consider becoming a patron of Sonatotum and my other creative endeavors. For just $5 a month, not only will you be a member of the Multiversalists community of writers and readers and creators, you will receive all kinds of special access, perks, and exclusive content, not least of which is the uncut, unproduced edition of every episode of Sonatotum. Just go to mattselznick.com/b-a-patron or visit patreon.com/mattselznick and pledge just $5 a month to support the show through your patronage. That's it. If you can do one or two or all three of those things, you'll be really helping the show and helping me reach more people with the Sonatotum mission of making stuff, finding success, and staying healthy and sane in the process. Thanks. Hey, present day Matt, back speaking to you again. What did you think of that early, innocent, and oh so subdued version of Sonatotum, episode 6 from back in 2018, June of 2018, I believe. I would love your feedback on the concept of the story family, your story father, your story mother, your story soulmate, all that good stuff. You can, as always, send me an email at matt@mattselznick.com. Or record a little voice message, maybe on your phone, and email that to matt@mattselznick.com. I will reply to the email. I will include your voice message in a future episode and reply in that episode. Also, of course, you can go directly to mattselznick.com/sonatotum-084 and just leave a comment in the comments right there in the show notes. Also, of course, at that same URL, mattselznick.com/sonatotum-084, you will find all the links to the applicable topics and subjects and things mentioned in that ancient episode. There we are. Again, next week, Sonatotum 85 will be my thoughts and reflections and musings about my experience at the 58th annual Nebula Conference and Nebula Awards presentation. Spoiler alert, I had an amazing time. But I'll get more into that next week. For now, my name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care.